What about vows made to God? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. My pastor, Pete Allinson, as usual on Fridays, has come in, and I know your schedule and that you would take time to do this is, I owe you a big time, man. Thanks for doing it. Pete Allinson is my pastor, and he comes in on Fridays to help answer some of these questions. And we love to get your questions. We get thousands of them. You got to write them down, though. Send them to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Key Life, Canada, Post Office Box 32150. Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. You can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address if you'd like to get a response. And you do get a response from me or a staff member on the broadcast or in the magazine. And don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for questions. You can get the magazine free, the page free, the booklet free. You make a contribution, but you got to write your question out. Pete, why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we'll get to some of these.
All right. Father, today we pause at the end of this work week, and whatever time of the day that it is, whenever we hear this broadcast, Father, we know that you're in charge. And sometimes it doesn't feel that way to us. Sometimes we feel very much that you're not listening or that life is so out of control. And so it's good to stop for a minute and to remember that you are the Supreme King of heaven and earth, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are the one that holds this universe together, that you're the creator and founder of it all, and that because of Christ and because of your grace and love, we're your people. And so it's good to remember that. And we look forward to this weekend when we will go to church and worship with the rest of your saints and declare together with them your glory and majesty and might. So we pray that you'd meet us, and we pray that you would be with our leaders, Lord, our pastors, and, you know, their families, too. Their wives and their kids, Lord, we pray that you would stand with them, those who are so visible and sometimes so vulnerable. Be with our priests and pastors, teachers, as they give the message. May they give the one that you have put on their heart and have taught in your word, and may we be faithful. Father, be with Key Life. We pray that you would bless this ministry and provide for it financially, that you would meet the needs of the people who hear and speak to them through this ministry. We commit it to you and our time now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pete, this first question is from Ohio. What do you think about our making vows to God?
Well, you know, vows are a part of life. We take marriage vows. We take ordination vows if you're going into the ministry. And apparently in the Old Testament, it was a pretty significant thing to take vows before God. Even Paul in the book of Acts, what got him into so much trouble, right, is he cut his hair because of some vows that he had made. So it was pretty pervasive among God's people. Wouldn't you agree with that?
And probably a good thing.
Yeah. So vows aren't... But then Jesus said, and this kind of messes it up, don't take any vows. He said, swear by, you know, make let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
Well, I think you were referencing when we were off the air of a scripture that you have that you had a pastor once. He used to teach this a lot.
Yeah, well, you know, Ecclesiastes 4:5 says it is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. So that Old Testament idea.
You know, I think vows are good expressions of the intentions of our heart, but I've also seen people be bound to a vow by Satan and not by God.
What do you mean?
And, well, it eats them alive. They make a vow that they can't fulfill and can't be done, or maybe even that would be hurtful. I remember one young man made a vow to go into ministry.
Mm-hmm.
He had a family situation that simply did not allow that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a question of whether he went into ministry or fed his children.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was ripped. He didn't know which way to go. He made the vow. And yet he had all of these obligations. I had another man in a church that I served once who, when he was young, in a very manipulative worship service where they tell you, if you love Jesus, you'll go on the mission field. Stand up now. If you don't, you're probably going to hell kind of thing. He stood up, made a commitment to go on the mission field. And he couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the most guilt-driven man I've ever known.
Mm.
And I think there are times, and you need to do this with your leaders, to talk it over. Martin Luther, for instance, took vows of celibacy.
Mm-hmm.
Then he got married to Catherine. What happened to your vow, babe? You know, there are times when vows were not from God.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we get a chance to make those decisions ourselves. We need to surround ourselves with brothers and sisters we trust to help us in those things.
That's a good point. So can we say that there are sometimes when we take vows that are not really biblical and they're not from God, and therefore because they're made on unbiblical, ungodly grounds, that we're not held liable to fulfill them?
Yeah, very true. And then we go back to what is the basis of a lot of things that I teach, and that is the reason Jesus died for you is that you're not able to fulfill all the vows that you made.
That's right.
There are people right now that have made vows that have broken them. And I want you to know that God's not angry. He wants to begin right where you are. You're forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Begin now.
Yeah.
When Abraham Lincoln said, what are you going to do with the South when this war's over? He said, it'll be as if they never left.
Mm.
And I believe that Jesus says the same thing to us.
That's right.
And I'm not saying make vows and break them, but I suspect that everybody who's listening right now has on occasion done that.
That's right.
And I would say, go to him. He's not angry.
Mm-hmm.
Ask his forgiveness. Get up quickly and get moving.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Nobody put a gun to your head to make these vows.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that it's possible that we make vows that are sort of not vows, formal vows, but we make them anyway? You know, we kind of develop a law as we go along. For instance, your ministry of grace over these years, has this been kind of a growing commitment? This is what you're about. This is what you're called to do. And I don't know if you ever took a vow. I promise, I vow that I'm going to teach grace whenever I can, but it just grew into that.
Yeah, but I think, that's very true. But I also think there have been vows involved with that. Because, as you know, this is a very controversial ministry,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think I'm controversial. I think I believe every word of the Bible. I'm conservative politically and theologically. I'm not trying to irritate people, but I do. I mean, if they just saw how lovable and wonderful I am, they wouldn't be this. But people get really angry at me, and there have been times when I thought, I'm not going to do this. And I think on those occasions, I've gone before God, as I know my heart, and said, God, I think where you call me. And I don't want to shilly cow, mm-hmm. so I want to commit. But I've learned in everything that I say to God that you know my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I need your grace to do this. If I don't get it, I'm not going to be able to do it.
That's right.
But with all that being said, Pete, we take vows too lightly. We take marriage vows too lightly. We take church vows too lightly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I don't like the way you part your hair, then frankly, I'm just irritated you have hair.
Less and less.
But it's still full, man. You still look like a movie star, and that really ticks me off. And people say, I don't like the way Pete, and every pastor that's listening right now knows what we're talking about. I don't like the way part is here. I'm out of here. And so they have an ecclesiology that's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the vows we make at the church are important. That means that porcupines got to stay together in the storm. You don't go and look for another church the next day, somebody else that you like better, or some other church where the music is better, or some other church where they're nicer to you,
mm-hmm.
because you took some vows.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think vows are really important.
That's good. And I think real quick, I know we got on this one, but you know, the in the New Testament, the thing with the rabbis is that they were using swearing by heaven or swearing by earth as a means of wiggling out of those vows. And so that's what Jesus was saying. Listen, you guys are making vows, but you're compromising your vows by saying, well, I'm just swearing at the footstool of the king.
So that's not as big a deal as if I swore by the throne of the king.
That's right. But if I swear by the king, then I've got to fulfill it. But all the others, it's a loophole I can get out. Yeah. And that's what Jesus is saying. No,
that's pretty cool. You think we could? No, he said no.
He said no.
And
nice try, though.
And I love what Jesus said. Let your yes be yes, yeah. Your no be no. Yeah. You know, it would be so refreshing if somebody asked us to do something, we said yes.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we didn't do it, we said no. And we didn't have to explain either one.
Yeah, that's exactly right. When you were growing up, did your friends say, swear to God? After they made a statement.
Swear to God.
Swear to God.
Yeah.
My parents said, we'll beat you with an inch of your life if you say that.
That's right.
And, you know, it's that. Yes, let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good stuff. Let me see. This is sort of like one we did last week. How does God view us before our salvation when you consider texts like Psalm 5:5? You hate all who do iniquity. How does God love and hate? How does God's love and hate work?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I still do iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
So
you think God hates you?
Does he hate me? I don't think he does now, no.
Why not?
I know he loves me because of Christ.
Yeah.
Because of the whole, you said it so many times, the imputation of our sin to Christ and Christ's righteousness to us.
Mm-hmm.
So, no.
But I don't think God's really happy about sin.
Sin. But
yeah.
He says he hates sin. How do you know?
But I think I think a lot of the things that you interpret in the Old Testament, I think I've said this a couple of times, is that you're dealing with a theocracy in a nation where the wheat and the tares are very much combined, and God's wrath is poured out in those kinds of settings because he's going to bring from that nation that theocracy a Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
As you move into the New Testament, you still have a covenant people, the church, but the visible church is often one where God holds them under judgment. I think as individuals, one of the great dangerous things is to think, I did something bad and God hates me.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't hate you. Go running to him and mercy will run to you.
Mm-hmm.
But God's not angry. He's angry if you're not a believer. The wrath there, you're going to have to face on your own because you don't have a covering. You don't have an answer. You go to court, man, you don't have an advocate.
That's right.
So.
Well, that's great. I mean, that's that whole point of this is that, yeah, God is a judge and is a holy God, hates sin, but he does come to love us, those upon whom he's chosen to put his affection.
And that love is, you said something the other day, it wasn't without condition, it was without a reservation.
Yeah.
What a great statement.
Isn't that neat?
God loves us without reservation.
Yeah.
I thought about that this morning. I always thought, you know, I teach this, I just don't live it. We got to get out of here. We're out of time. But I always thought, God says, I love you, but I got a couple of reservations about something. And without reservation, it's cool. Will you show up next Friday?
Yeah, I'll see you.
Make a bow?
I'll be here.
Okay. Guys, we're out of here. Key Life, by the way, is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.